and welcome to this very special edition of the Sports Pro Podcast. This is Kieran Brittle coming to you live from Expinor in Porto. You may be able to make out the murmur of conversations going on behind me. I am at the Beyond Rally Forum, organised by the World Rally Championship. Now, this forms part of the FIA's Sustainable Innovation Series and falls in line with the recent Sustainability Roadbook launched by WRC Promoter recently. This is something we'll hear about later on in the podcast, but don't go anywhere as I'll be taking you through the key narratives from today's forum, covering everything from the future direction of WRC, why biodiversity is motorsport's next great challenge, and even a little bit on the world's first helicopter flight powered by fossil-free fuels. First up, I sit down with Sara Mariani, Sustainability and Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the FIA. Let's find out what she had to say about the importance of promoting a more sustainable and inclusive environment in motorsport. Hello, Sara. So we are obviously here at the Beyond Rally Forum. We're ahead of the event. So how are you feeling and what are you expecting to get out of the day?
Well, we feel, first of all, very excited because it's the first time that the FIA with the World Rally Championship is organizing a joint event around sustainability. So it's the first time to showcase what we are doing in a way. So there is a lot of excitement and anticipation. And we look forward for the events to actually become real.
This is your first event with WRC, but you've done a similar event with Formula E in Tokyo. So what are you sort of hoping to achieve from the Sustainable Innovation Series? What are you hoping to achieve from these events?
That's correct. We hold an event in Tokyo in collaboration with Formula E. And we had good participation from a number of various stakeholders, including academia and also industry, which are very important to tackle those topics with a 360 degree. So the idea of the Sustainable Innovation Series came about because I think we need to bring the championships closer to our audience and create a wider collaboration, bringing about stakeholders with actionable strategies. And we decided to implement a series of events that would work with each of the world championships at the FIA. Yes. So the usual suspects. So with Formula E, we started with the first event, but we think that also working and sustainability around rally is very important because we touch on topics maybe that are closer to nature as opposed to other sports, because we are in the open air, not in circuits. So there are a number of issues that are specific to rally that we wanted to explore more and also make known to a wider audience.
Do you need maybe different approaches? Obviously, with Formula E, they were founded on the basis of sustainability, whereas WRC are transitioning towards sustainability. Are there different approaches required for both series?
Absolutely. And this is also why we are doing different events with different championships, because we need to, first of all, look at the needs of the various championships and the opportunities as well. With Formula E, of course, the main topics are around the electrification, may that be the batteries and the power grid and where it comes from, and circular economy, what we do with the batteries and so on and so forth. With rally, again, we can discuss about fuels, but sustainable fuels, how to make vehicles more efficient on track, and also test technologies that could potentially trickle down into the cars that we use daily at some point. And also the biodiversity theme is a big one because, again, we run in forest, basically, very often. So how do we interact with the biodiversity? How we preserve the heritage that we have with regard to the environment? It's a topic that's specific to rally. So we need to really tailor the approach to the different championships to make it real.
We'll dive into the specific initiatives in a bit, but I was just wondering how much guidance the FIA has with WRC's sustainable direction. Obviously, WRC is accountable for its own sustainability, but how much does the FIA sort of get involved and guide that process?
Actually, with rally, it was also a little bit the other way around in the sense that they are going to publish the roadbook. Yeah. And the roadbook actually implements the strategy that the FIA has, which we are currently in the process of revamping a little bit and expanding to also include topics like biodiversities that were secondary when it was first launched 3 years ago. But rally actually took what existed from the FIA, tweaked it with their focus, applying their lenses to our strategy and actually made it tailored to their sport. So it's a great example of how we could work together. we were consulted also on the roadbook, so we could also provide some feedback, but actually it was just great work that I did, and it was perfectly aligned with our strategy, so it was a great result for us.
Well, you've preempted my next question, because I was going to talk about the sustainability roadbook and talk about your collaboration on that. So it's interesting to hear that it was led by WRC and you obviously offered some consultation. What was your, I guess, reaction to, you know, WRC taking that initiative then?
I mean, I would want this to happen more and more. As you can imagine, we are within the FIA here, a little bit like the catalyst, but then the action happens on the ground. So we can provide guidelines, we can provide, and we should provide even better guidelines. And we need to get better at that to make it more concrete, more digestible and more applicable. But then the action happens on the ground. So actually it is up to the championships, up to the organizers, up to the promoters and the sponsors to then take action to make it all real, because otherwise it remains on paper. It doesn't serve any purposes. So actually what WRC is doing, I think it could also be an example for other championships or even other minor series besides the world championships that are, for sure, they have more means and they can do more to how to actually take the guidance that is provided by the FIA, but to make it real and applicable for the needs of their championships.
I was going to ask you this later, but since you mentioned it, obviously you're saying that WRC are almost blazing a trail in this sector in terms of the work they're doing in sustainability. I was going to ask you what series you saw as sort of being leaders in this area. And it's quite clear that WRC is one of them, if not maybe the leader. So I was wondering what series are doing that good work that the FIA is particularly proud of?
Well, of course, I have to start with Formula E, because Formula E has started around the concept of sustainability and they are embedding it in every aspect of what they do on track and off track. They have a long-lasting heritage with regard to sustainability. They are in their 10th season, so they've been pioneering somehow certain aspects of sustainability. And also, they have a particular attention also to the social side, not just to the environmental side of things, with the Girls on Track program that they implement for the FIA and with the FIA. Of course, F1 has a leading role also in our championships, as you can well imagine. And they just published also their report that highlights the progress and the reduction targets and all the measures that have been put in place. So with the department that I lead, which is the Sustainability and D&I department, we have a close engagement with all the championships. We have roadmaps for every championship and we try to have a close connection with them. And we are actually revamping the bi-weekly meetings with them to actually have this closer collaboration. But I would say that every little helps. So everything that can be put in place actually helps strengthening the message that we are serious about it and we want the sport to be durable and stay there and maintain its credibility. So everything that it's implemented is welcome, even if it's smaller things done in smaller series.
And if we focus on WRC, are there particular initiatives that you're proud of that you look at and think those are the initiatives that you want to see more of?
Actually, I think what they are doing that's quite specific and we liked a lot is the work on biodiversity. For example, they have a partnership in place with UNESCO at the heritage sites around what they do in Kenya. And this is something that's quite unique. And today we are going to talk more about the biodiversity side and the work that we are also launching with a stakeholder consultation led by the FIA with other championships as well to try to understand how this approach could be applicable to them. Because ultimately, I think there are links with biodiversity and nature in all the series. And even if there are permanent infrastructures, you still have fauna and flora you have to be, you know, in touch with, responsible for in a way. So there are applications also to other series. Maybe they have to be tailored, they have to be changed, they have to make sense for them. But I think the work on biodiversity is very, very important. And again, we've been focused a lot on carbon at the beginning of also what the FIA was doing, which is normal because it's the greater impact that we have. But to seriously tackle the climate crisis, we have to look at waste as well, and we have to look at biodiversity. So biodiversity is actually a very important piece of the puzzle, and WRC has started tackling it in a very meaningful way. So this is very welcome, and we will use that as an example also to try to implement actions that are along those lines for other series.
And looking at, I guess, wider sustainability, how important do you feel that, obviously, you've mentioned the biodiversity schemes in WRC, how important do you feel that that sort of sustainability push is in maintaining that road relevance for series and having that sort of sustainability at the core?
Well, I think the relevance of the series is very much linked to the topics that I have the chance to work on. If we think about how the sport is positioned and will position itself, I'm talking about motorsports at large. If we want to attract younger generations, we need to, first of all, be credible in what we do and engage them on topics that they are interested in and they feel close to their daily habits and what they want to see in a sport. So I think a message that has not probably passed yet with the force that it deserves is that being sustainable means also making the sport sustainable in the coming years, make it relevant and get traction and attention from the younger generations who are sometimes even not considering driving a car because it's not part of their beliefs. So I think we have to be very much mindful of how this implementation of a serious and robust and credible sustainability strategy can also serve for the sustainability of the sport.
And in addition to attracting the younger generation, but specifically for WRC, how important is it to attract new manufacturers to the series?
That too. Again, it's something that will also help differentiate in this realm as well. So there may be manufacturers that are not there because of XY reasons and could feel that this is becoming a space where they would feel more comfortable. And actually, it's a sport that will resonate more and more with their values and their also commercial objectives. Let's not be naive, that exists. And there's no issue with that as long as, you know, partnerships are done with some content and some value to it. But I think this also could increase the number of potentially commercial entities and manufacturers, first of all, who could be interested in becoming part of the space because now it makes more sense for them.
And talking of partnerships that have value and content, obviously WRC have partnered with P1 Fuels. They've got 100% sustainable fuels, which is a massive step for the series. Obviously, 100% sustainable fuels is a very good step, but fuels and the emissions from the fuels in the cars make up such a small percentage of an overall series emissions. So how do you balance sort of that argument?
You know, it's interesting because everyone focuses on that. When they look about sustainability, they look at the fuel, and this is a very important component, but it makes up a very small percentage. So what's also important is to work taking kind of an holistic view and understand what are the main impacts, to work on logistics, to work on, I would be a bit controversial here and I take full responsibility for it, to work on the calendar for it to make sense from a sustainability standpoint, but also from a well-being of the people involved, which is not negligible. So like taking a holistic approach, looking at the main impacts, focusing on reality versus perception. So there are small things that make sense to do because then they are the ones who attract the attention of the public. But then we need to work on the most relevant things, on the fuels, of course, because that's very important, but also on, for example, circularity of the materials, what we do about waste, and work on the events, on the sustainability of the fans, on how the fans move to the event. Can we incentivize public transportation to go to an event, for example? This is something that has a massive impact, much, much more than fuel in the car.
And obviously, the counter argument with the fuels is that motorsport is always a technological testbed for these things. So I guess how important is it with that future looking mindset of that then becoming something road relevant in the future?
Yes, and that's probably one of the aspects that make my job most interesting is that we work on motorsports, but also on mobility. So we have the luxury, quote unquote, to test the most innovative technologies within the sport. We can afford to do that because the numbers are small, the scale is small, and we can, you know, go deep with the testing. So once we find solutions, we know that at some point they will go beyond the sport and affect the mobility at large. So I think we, within the FIA, feel also a responsibility for that, because actually we can accelerate change by implementing new technologies and new solutions within the sport that can then be taken up even very quickly if we want to, and if the market wants to, and then offer solutions for the wider society. And I think we really feel a responsibility about that.
And obviously, as the governing body, and we've touched on this previously, you've obviously got involvement in series all over the world. Do you see certain initiatives that work, you know, quite well in a certain series and then try and copy that and maybe guide a series in that direction? Or is it a case of taking a different approach for each series?
Well, I think we need to respect the specificities of the different series and the type also of fans they have, where they operate. Is it on the road? Is it on a circuit? So for sure, a specific approach is needed. But for example, I participated at the General Assembly in Baku. It was my first week within the FIA, and I could attend some meetings where the members presented some initiatives that they are implementing. And actually, the public transportation to go to events actually is a quite good solution that actually can be scaled and replicated. For rally, it's slightly more complex because you go to the special sessions and they are far and they are not that easily accessible. But for example, for events that happen either in city centers like for the Formula E or in circuits like for the F1, the public transportation, for example, that's something that works and can work much, much better if implemented consistently throughout all series. Yeah, for rally is more complicated.
A lot more complicated for rally. And obviously, you know, who knows how long F1 will be just at circuits, and maybe they'll just move into city centres more and more. Now, obviously, the FIA have their 3-star environmental accreditation award, and I feel like we're now getting to a point where there's a lot of series and a lot of teams in those series are, you know, achieving that top award from the FIA. So I'm interested to know, I guess, what's next from your side. Obviously, you know, WRC have been extremely proactive with the sustainability roadbook. Are you hoping that more series and teams take that approach? What's next after that top level?
Yes, this is very interesting, because on the one side, the 3-star accreditation is the top level of the FIA environmental accreditation. And on the other side, it is the beginning for exactly what come next, because actually we know, because it has been proven in real life, that the clubs, promoters and series who have obtained the 3-star accreditation can very easily access other certifications that are based on international standards, such as ISO 14000, for example. Once you get the 3-star accreditation, you are well trained, because sometimes to get those certification, it is required a certain training also of all the resources internally on how to gather data, on how to implement actions, on how to organize documents as well. It's management system based, so there is a lot of paperwork. But actually, once you've done the 3-star accreditation, you can go for more demanding certifications. For example, the ISO 14001 is very close to the 3-star accreditation and actually was taken as a basis when that was developed. And it gives sometimes the clubs an appetite for more. And they know that now they have the tools and the knowledge of how the certification work, and they can apply it to get more certifications with an international relevance that can help them have a dialogue with local authorities, have a dialogue with, I don't know, the owners of the circuit, or attract even more sponsorships. Because even on the sponsorship sides now, sponsors are not looking just to having a logo appearing somewhere, but they are looking for a purpose and content. So showing that they not only have the 3-star accreditation, but they have also gone farther and acquired more, can also be beneficial for them. And we in a way, with the FIA, provide this kind of training. They can go to the gym and get fit with the TRISR accreditation and then go compete with other certification, and we welcome that.
And it's obviously not just sponsors that are looking for more from the teams, it's fans as well. We've obviously talked a lot about sustainability, but your role also includes diversity and inclusion. So I was wondering what you sort of saw WRC as. How much work are they doing in this space? Obviously, you know, wider motorsport is a different question, but specifically WRC, what sort of progress have you seen in that area?
Yes, there too, WRC is taking a leading role because they are about to launch the Women Accelerator Program. And tomorrow we will have the president of our Women in Motorsport Commission. She's a rally driver. So she will be talking about also her experience. But I think attracting also women, because they haven't been part of the sport, maybe in rally a little bit more. And we have Michelle Mouton, she's a living legend, and she'll be here tomorrow as well. So there are many women we can look up to have shown that it is possible for a woman to compete in rally and do it very well. But I think what we are interested in within the FIA is, first of all, attract girls and women, because they were a bit neglected from the sport. And the Girls on Track program exists since 2018. So it's been there for a while. And now we are also looking at expanding that scope to maybe look at other projects that I will not spoil today, but to actually attract also different backgrounds and also make known all the avenues that people can have with regard to finding a job in motorsports, because there is not only drivers, but there are people working in communication, in digital, in hospitality, in engineering. So we are trying to create a bit of momentum around the careers that exist in motorsports, for example, from the engineers on. And I think this could be the next evolution of what the FIA has been doing with the Girls on Track, and what also WRC is doing with their accelerator to expand even the scope of that and go look for valuable people who can bring experience and diversity within different organizations, also with regard to jobs, for example.
How important is that visibility in those senior management roles? Obviously, we are making steps towards seeing more women, you know, competing in the series, but having women working in those visible and influential roles is equally as important, as you say.
Absolutely. And we know that, for example, our presidential team has a priority that is including more women, even in the governance of the FIA, for example. Now we have many presidents of commissions who are women, and this is very new. Within my department alone, Burjo Chetinkaya was the president of the Women in Motorsport Commission, and Natalie McGloin is the president of the Disability and Accessibility Commission, and we have three commissions, so two out of three presidents are women, and the vice president of the Sustainability and D&I Committee, Jessica Renicles from Motorsports UK, she's another woman. So we are increasing the numbers of women within the organization that we know can only be beneficial, because we sometimes bring just another point of view to things. And especially in environments that are and have been for a long time male dominated, it's just refreshing to just come at things from a different angle. And sometimes we are right, sometimes we're wrong, but at least we bring some fresh new ideas in.
Now, without spoiling any of these future projects, how do you see the future of DE&I developing, especially in WRC?
Well, I think that the Women Accelerator Program will be a very visible one. And it's very good that they ask also for our input. And we are going to have some people from the FIA presenting their experience during the launch of it. So I think in rally, actually, it could bring results faster than in other series, because maybe even from a physical point of view, rally is more approachable for women. There can be even more roles because you are a team of two people. So you can have a driver and a co-pilot there. So you can be two for the price of one. Sorry for that. But actually, you can actually increase the number of females in a very, very rapid way, much more than in other series where maybe also from a physical standpoint is slightly more complex. And it's feasible, and we are researching that field because we want to provide data that shows that it is feasible with the proper training also for other series. But for rally, actually, they could achieve results in this regard very, very fast, I think.
Do you look to a series like Extreme E, for example, which obviously, you know, has one male, one female driver in each team? Like, can that be replicated across other series, even WRC?
Absolutely. There is no reason why this couldn't be replicated. So the series that are born a bit later, they have the advantage of incorporating these elements from the outset, which of course it's an ideal environment. But even if that's not the case from the beginning, like in WRC, now with the accelerator, they could get female pilots in a very, you know, short time span, a few years at competitive level, but also other roles. So again, I think the Extreme E model could be very easily replicated and could again give more results because women tend to be focused and not get distracted. So they can navigate very well, I believe.
Well, I look forward to hearing more from you tomorrow, Sarah. Thank you very much for sitting down and talking to me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Right, well, that brings us to the first coffee break of today's Beyond Rally Forum. Thank you so much to Sarah for such a great exploration into the issues, not just in WRC, but across the wider world of motorsport. Now, it's time to hear from Martin Popielka, Chief Executive of P1 Fuels. They are the fuel supplier for WRC. WRC, the first motorsport series to introduce 100% fossil-free fuels. So let's hear more about these sustainable fuels and their real-world applications. Martin, thank you for joining the Sports Pro podcast. Good to have you on. Now, you've obviously heavily involved with WRC and with the Beyond Rally Forum. How important is it to be associated with an event like this?
Well, it's absolutely fundamental for us because we want to spread the word that sustainable fuels are here. They work and they power, you know, cars from WRC cars to go cars to anything.
What attracted you to working with WRC?
Well, mainly the ability to actually develop our products and technologies around the very demanding conditions these cars are operated in. So if you think about it, these rally cars, you know, rally from the safari in Kenya up to the sub-freezing temperatures of northern Sweden. So it gives us a great platform to make sure that the fuels we develop work in very demanding conditions.
And how important is it for that road relevance as well as part of your commercial strategy?
It's absolutely fundamental because our company's aim is to bring these fuels to the 1.3 billion cars that are on our roads today and rely on fossil fuels. And if we don't get rid of these fossil fuels and replace them with fossil-free gasoline, such as the one P1 makes, we will never reach our climate targets.
And obviously this isn't just a sponsorship, this is a technical partnership. So how important is that aspect of this deal? You know, it's not just a logo attached to a series.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. We are a relatively small company, so we don't really do sponsorships. We're here to develop products, and it's been a wonderful journey. You know, we're very privileged to work with the likes of Toyota, Hyundai, and Ford on making sure that these fuels perform very well. So for us, this has been definitely a push forward, and throughout the championships, we've actually deployed various versions of the fuel. So actually, at this event here in Portugal, we launched the newest version of the fuel where we've further increased the performance, and that's what racing's about.
Obviously, introducing a new fuel here in Portugal, you know, great steps being made. The applications of sustainable fuel are plentiful, but I wanted to focus on a particular case study, actually, that of the helicopter flying with fossil-free fuel. Can you go just into a little bit more detail about how that came about?
Yeah, well, that came about quite naturally. Avgas, which is the aviation gasoline that's currently used in these applications, is being phased out. And the whole industry is looking for alternatives that could function in these engines without modification. So we actually were working with this company for the past year on making sure that the fuel works. And quite happy to announce that, yeah, they decarbonized their helicopter by just changing the fuel, which is the very thing that we're trying to achieve in the broader mobility space.
What does this potentially mean for the wider transport sector and for fossil-free fuels?
Well, that means that we found another application where these fuels function, further proving the versatility of the technology and allowing us to not only drive in a sustainable way, but also fly.
I mean, of course, those effects could be plentiful, but a lot of motorsport series use helicopters to film aerial broadcasts and such. You know, what sort of potential is there for you to help decarbonize production and broadcast sectors?
That's a very good question. So we've just started the discussion with WRC promoter on how we can bring such helicopters fueled with our fuels to the events. Piston powered helicopters are generally lightweight helicopters, so their payload is smaller than that of the turbine helicopter. So we're trying to figure out if they can actually carry all that equipment needed for the promoter. But in case they do, then yeah, it's a huge step forward to further increasing the sustainability rating of the championship.
Now, of course, when it comes to sustainable fuels, there's often the counter argument that the fuels that are in the cars is such a small percentage of a series' overall emissions. So what do you say to sort of that, you know, mindset and that approach?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think we learned today that we displaced 500 metric tons of CO2. That's not a small number of emissions that we've saved. And, you know, racing in general and rally as well is, you know, it's a showcase of what we bring. Cars today are 48% of all CO2 emissions within the transportation sector. That is a significant number. We're talking about gigatons of CO2 emitted on an annual basis. So having solutions that allow us to replace fossil fuels in these cars without forcing consumers to buy new cars or modify their engines are fundamental in reaching the climate targets.
Well, of course, and I think that point about motorsport being this technological testbed is the crucial point. So how important do you find that, and how do you sort of plan to tackle wider logistical emissions maybe as part of that? Motorsport has a big logistics footprint, so how can we affect, you know, that aspect of it?
Yeah, that's a, you know, the logistics footprint is quite challenging. So what we do, we have actually purchased a truck that maximizes the payload. So we have two basically floors within that truck. So we bring more fuel in one unit to the event, trying to further, you know, decrease the footprint there. Also, you know, we fuel the truck with sustainable diesel, HVO, which further also decreases the footprint there. But I think the bigger picture here is, how do we bring this fuel to all the cars? How do we leverage the infrastructure of fuel stations that are already on the roads? How do we make sure that consumers have access to these fuels on a daily basis? And that is a monumental undertaking for which we need, you know, support from the broader industry and from all the players in the mobility sector. And that's something what we're trying to strive towards as P1. We are forging partnerships with various corporations that share our vision of a decarbonized mobility. But, you know, quite frankly, it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, talking of it not happening overnight and, you know, focusing on P1, what are your plans for the future? What do you see changing? Obviously not overnight, but over many nights.
Our number one KPI is the cost of the fuel. So our entire organization is working towards developing technology that cuts and reduces the cost of the fuel. And I'm super proud to announce that we've actually developed a proprietary technology that allows us to produce these fuels at relatively decent prices, when we foresee that in the next industrial size facility, we will be able to reach cost parity with fossil fuels.
And to focus on WRC, do you see yourself continuing in this collaboration? Are there maybe any other series that you look to for inspiration, or maybe that you can inspire?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of championships, whether that is the WRC, but also karting championships, GT racing, open wheel racing in New Zealand. A lot of different championships have come to us to use our fuels and decrease their footprint. But yeah, we definitely want to continue this relationship. We find it very valuable and inspiring to see that this was the first FIA World Championship in the 120 years history of the FIA that has made the switch from fossil fuels, and quite in a seamless fashion.
Well, we definitely look forward to seeing the application of sustainable fuels across wider motorsport and in the wider automotive industry. Thank you very much for your time, Martin.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's no surprise to hear about how motorsport has always been a testbed for new technology, so it's amazing to hear about the potential of those sustainable fuels. Thank you to Martin for that very insightful chat. We're approaching the end of Beyond Rally, unfortunately, but I've still got a little bit of time to grab Santiago Peña Gomez, who is the head of sustainability here at WRC Promoter. Let's hear more about the championship's overarching strategy and, of course, its new sustainability roadbook. We are at the end of the Beyond Rally Forum. I am lucky enough to be joined by Santiago. Hello, how are you doing?
Very good. It's been a long day, but a very rewarding one. I'm really happy to have seen the engagement of the audience the interest in the topic, and especially in the roadbook that we launched today, which has been a work for a year. It took us a year to launch the strategy, which is the difference with the forum we organized in Monte Carlo last year. The conversation was great. It was important for us to have all our partners and stakeholders around. But this year, I think what makes the difference is that we have a strategy in place, which is what we were missing. This really gives us a direction on where we have to go.
You mentioned the previous Beyond Rally Forum in Monte Carlo. This is obviously the second. Were there any lessons you took from that first attempt and that you've implemented in this year's forum?
Absolutely. I think at the time everyone was talking about, we have to really talk about sustainable fuels because that's the USP of the WRC. And it's true. It's a great achievement. It's a key initiative, let's say, that we have. But that's not everything. You know, car technology is one of the things that we have to take into consideration to have a more sustainable event in general. But that's just one part of the equation. We have event operations, we have logistics, we have so many other components. The interesting part about sustainable fuels is that it's not really the impact they have in the championship per se, because if you see, the emissions of the cars are 0.7%. even with sustainable fuel. But then it's what's the story and the platform you're building around it to remain public policy relevant in a space where it's so important to be open to different technologies to achieve climate targets. So that's the importance of sustainable fuel. So that's the difference from the event last year. And I think this year, we of course took sustainable fuels into consideration because it's an important area. But we also look holistically into how we're going to drive this championship more sustainably. So sustainable fuels for us falls into climate, but also into innovation. But then we have other areas that we have identified, such as biodiversity, responsible management, which speaks about event operations and environmental management, sourcing, procurement, and also social impact, which is something you heard a lot today. Not only from the involvement of women in motorsport, but also about what is the social legacy and the impact on communities that we have wherever we go. You know, rallying is very remote championship. We go to places that are extremely difficult to access sometimes. But there are many, many rich communities in terms of cultural value that we have to highlight, we have to appreciate, and we have to preserve and contribute as much as we can. I mentioned during my presentation at the forum that there was a picture of the health rally in Mexico. Today, we spoke a lot about women in motorsport. That's a very important angle for us. And the Women Accelerator program, it's an important statement. But there is this other angle about social impact, which is the communities we go to. And it's what's our impact wherever we go. So we have to try to maximize the positive impact and minimize the negative one. So the health rally, to round the idea there, is that together with the event organizer, there are different like clinics created to offer medical services to the communities where the rally goes. Over 14 years, because Rally Mexico goes a long way back, they have helped and provided services for over 100,000 people. For me, that's an amazing statement. And even when WRC rallies not even happening there anymore, because you know, in rallies, they alternate in certain years, they go, they come back to the calendar. Even when they're not in the calendar, they keep the program. So that's actually legacy in action, which is what we all want.
And I feel like these topics were covered at such great length today and so many pertinent issues brought up. I thought, you know, the holistic view of today's sessions were, you know, really educational and really informative for the audience. Obviously, all of this is aligned with the launch of your sustainability roadbook. Just go into a little bit more detail about, I guess, what went into the production of that. You mentioned it had been a year in production, but what you put into that and what you hope to achieve with it?
I think the first thing you need to do is understand, which is a very easy thing to say, but very difficult to accomplish, which will take years, actually. But we cannot use it as an excuse for not acting. When I say understand, is that measuring the carbon footprint is one thing, but even the measurement of the carbon footprint of a championship has many difficulties because of access to data, accuracy of the data. But that's one angle. But how about the other parts of understanding what is your impact on nature, which per se is very difficult to measure? But there are methods and there are ways. You have to take the first step. You cannot just stay behind because it's difficult or because it's challenging or because understanding it's not easy. You have to take the first step and just make continuous improvements on when you start. I mentioned during the conference that the way we started these strategies, it was not a sustainability strategy, it was an environmental strategy. And I remember it was actually our rallycross director who mentioned, but you know, the angle of women in motorsport is so important in rallycross because we have, I remember in the races in Sweden and the Norway, in the support category, RX2E, we had at least 10 female drivers competing. It was amazing to see. And that was one of the things that really made us remember that sustainability is so much more than just the environment. Of course, the environment where we race is what gives us a place to compete and a place to bring what we do to the world. But there's so much more to it. And that's when we needed to make a way more thorough analysis on what is it that we do? What is our relationship with the environment, climate, communities? And as I said before, how do we build a platform to be relevant for public policy? I mentioned this could be on sustainable fuels, but this can also be in diversity and inclusion. This can also be in biodiversity stewardship. How we bring this information to the over 800 million viewers we have per year, or the almost, I don't know, 4 to 5 million on-site visitors we have in our events across 4 continents. It's massive numbers. But if you take it even further and you take the learnings we have here, share it with other sports and get the ball rolling, the impact, you increase it a lot more.
There's obviously so many different pillars to sustainability. Our listeners have heard earlier on in this podcast about, you know, from Sarah and how, you know, FIA is doing so much work in that women in motorsport sphere. But she also actually mentioned that the sustainability roadbook was a proactive thing from WRC. It was a case of you going out there and basically just founding this strategy by yourselves, and FIA just came in with some little bits of advice here and there. What does that kind of support mean to you and that sort of level of understanding and trust from the governing body?
It's crucial because the sporting and technical regulations of the sport still, I mean, are governed by the FIA, which means the car technology, although this is a discussion where all actors are involved, are led by the FIA. And the way you embed the sustainability agenda, it's crucial. So if we have this support from the FIA, that's the way we build the strategy as well. We wanted it to be aligned with the FIA environmental strategy. If you see from all the 49 goals, you will see a little logo of the FIA next to the goals that addresses FIA environmental strategy goals. So that means that there are documents that go together. Our document doesn't make sense without the environmental strategy of the FIA, which is what you want. But you don't only want that for WRC, you would like that for every championship. I'm not saying you have to do exactly the same to link it that way, but you do want to be on the same page. There's something I wanted to tell you as well about that, is that sometimes I have the feeling that in motorsport, we have this unspoken competition on sustainability, you know? Everyone has this goal, everyone has this statement, everyone has this thing they want to showcase. And that's positive because you heard it today. We need different solutions for a common problem. And every championship of the FIA, especially world championships, they have very specific characteristics, a very specific public, a very specific car technology. And that's great. Actually, for me, that's positive. And you have to leverage the advantages of each to develop different technologies. But my opinion is that among world championships, we should take sustainability as a pre-competitive aspect. Not saying that they're going outside and saying we compete in this, but I feel that sometimes these statements, they're pushed so far to say, of course, you have also commercial purposes with this. You want to attract better sponsors. You want to align with the purpose of what you do, which is great. But I think if we shared more of what we do, it would be a very good achievement of motorsport as a community. Because I tell you, this happens in other industries. For some reason, I've been reading a lot about the the luxury goods industries. This is something that many companies in this area, they take as a pre-competitive aspect, and they share and they have different working groups or commissions or standards where they share best practices, because they also, in that case, they source many of the raw materials for what they do in the same places, and they have the same challenges. Well, we're not very different in that sense, you know? We have many of the same challenges. Logistics, we all share it. Impact on race locations. I mean, rallying is difficult because you go to very remote places. If you have circuits, it's, I'm not going to say it's easier, but at least you know where exactly where they're going. With rallying, it's a bit more complicated.
You've actually unpacked quite a few things that I wanted to talk about there, so I'll slowly pick back through them. So on the topic of logistics, obviously it's a big issue across all of motorsport. Rally has a somewhat lined up calendar, obviously forgetting the final four events where you jump between continents. You do stick mainly in Europe. There's only three outside of Europe. So from a logistics standpoint, you're clearly not as bad as some of the other global motorsport series. But, you know, how important is tackling those logistical emissions when it comes to your sustainability strategy?
Absolutely crucial. About above 80% of our total championship emissions come from logistics. You know, the calendar of the WRC, if you compare it with other championships, is still kind of short. We have 13 rallies today, which is something that I think can go up to 14 or a max of 15, depending on different shifts in the calendar and newcomers and rallies that go out, come back. But this is absolutely crucial. You mentioned something that it's important, is that we have such a big opportunity with most of the rallies happening in Europe. We can make this so much more efficient. I tell you, one of the challenges and the goals that we have for the future is not only what you mentioned on optimizing the calendar, but also to finding more sustainable logistic solutions for all the teams, which are the ones that are bringing most of the equipment to the rally locations. From our side, we did it on TV production since 2019. And Rally Mexico last year was the very first event that we produced remotely from a post-production office in Helsinki. And then we did the same with all the overseas events last year. This year, besides the overseas events, which are three, we're also tackling three European events precisely to test the model and see if we can then expand it to more events in Europe, which will decrease our impact when we speak about TV production. That's on us as promoter. Of course, the logistics of the teams is something we can speak and lead, but it's something we have to work with the different stakeholders, FIA included.
Well, you've just led into my next question perfectly, which was going to ask you about your influence over stakeholders. You know, obviously we've heard today about, you know, the various teams and sponsors that have achieved three-star environmental accreditation under your guidance. So I just wanted to hear a little bit more about, I guess, that influence that you hold over and how much guidance you can give to sponsors and teams.
Absolutely. I think the accreditation program is a good example, because since I arrived, we have worked so much with event organizers to achieve the three-star accreditation, not only from a check, just also tick the box, but to do it properly, have the right documentation that helps you build a proper environmental management system. That's the theory. Perfect. But the next step we took is, how do we translate this into more properly sustainable operations? I can tell you have very different levels of maturity and expertise when it comes to this topic in the different regions and countries you go. I cannot tell you there is one region or one country that is better than the other. I just tell you that they're very different contexts and realities. For some, it's easier to reach the standards. For others, it's more difficult. For me, that's the beauty of it. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how many resources you have. You have to get to the standard. So if we have less resources, we have to make it happen. We have a lot of resources, you still have to make it happen. Doesn't matter. That's good. That's why we have standards. Then the idea is to take these good practices and momentum we have built with the event organizers to work with the teams. In WRC, we have three teams. And the goal that we have set in the strategy is that by 2027, not only the teams, but all suppliers and the event organizers, which continuously are accredited, get the three stars by 2027. This is something not only for WRC, but for ERC and World Rally Cross as well. So that means another world championship for the FIA, where we want to achieve this.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about your progress in sustainability, one aspect of which is the 100% sustainable fuels, which we touched on earlier. Earlier in this podcast, I've spoken to both Sarah and Martin about this, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. And that is the argument that sustainable fuels in motorsport is tackling the smallest segment of a series emissions. How do you sort of react to that approach? But then on the flip side, how important is motorsport as that technological testbed for these technologies?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, I mentioned before that WRC's emissions related to the racing cars throughout the 13 events is 0.7%. It's nothing. But it's about the story and the impact that you can build by showcasing this in the toughest motorsport in the world. If you test and develop sustainable fuels in real cars, which are same cars you can go now to the dealership and get yourself, real roads, the same ones that you have to ride every day, in the most extreme conditions, you have all the perfect circumstances to develop something that you can really scale up to mass production vehicles. So the importance of this is we are the vehicle to build the story and test it and then bring it to the mass public for the importance this can have to tackle climate challenges, which is something we heard a lot today in the conference. Somehow it's not too much about us. It's about what it can bring to the problem that we have, in particular in road transportation.
Well, on that point about road relevance, obviously that is such a crucial aspect for so many motorsport series. And outside of the environmental benefits, how important is it for you to attract new manufacturers to the series through this? Obviously, you mentioned only three manufacturers in WRC. With that future forward-thinking aspect, how important is that to attract new manufacturers?
It's crucial, you know, for car manufacturers. You have these different approaches from different brands on if they're going full electric, if they're not pledging to full electric from 2030 or 2040. And it's because they have a vision on how they see mobility and which part of the puzzle they want to play in that very, in my opinion, uncertain future of mobility. What is for sure, and we have insisted a lot, is that we will need different technologies. So let's say each brand took their direction, some of them haven't, and some of them might just make a U-turn and take another new direction. But it's important for us to remain also true to what rallying is and having a balance into how we make it forward thinking, you know, how we can build a platform for them to, as I was saying, not only come because we are building a great sustainable or more sustainable event or championship, but also because you will be able to develop that car that you have the vision in the future in WRC because of the conditions and the characteristics of WRC. So I think it's important for the manufacturers to have the certainty of a platform of these features, but also it's important for us to showcase that we can have more manufacturers precisely because we're building a more sustainable event and championship.
In the spirit of, I guess, that kind of development and I guess collaboration. Obviously, you mentioned earlier about motorsport series not being in competition with each other. So with that, I guess, collaborative approach, are there any motorsport series that you look to for inspiration?
Absolutely. I look at all of them. I wouldn't be doing my job well if I wouldn't be looking at all of them, especially the FIA World Championships and motorcycling. So, I mean, Formula E is a very good example. They were born with sustainability in their veins and they have many things. I can say one thing I like a lot about Formula E is the attitude. You know, it's always considering sustainability as something that matters to the operations of your championship, to your partners, to the world. You know, they have a specific agenda, which I think it's important. We spoke about it today. What they are working for, it's important, it's relevant, and so should it be. But so it's ours, you know? And so it's if you then develop hydrogen in Extreme E, and if you bring that then to Formula One, as passing through Extreme E, which is actually a great thing to hear. Also, motorcycling, you know, MotoGP through the governing body, the FIM, they have doing a lot of great work for a long time, and they have great initiatives on site. So I look at all of them, but I tell you, I also look at other sports. And beyond sports, the music industry, as I was saying before, the luxury goods industry, we have so much to learn from each other. We might have our very specific challenges as industries. We do in motorsport, but we have so many common things in others that might be even more advanced than motorsport or sports in general. We have to also be able to see this. If we're doing a great job in certain things, that's perfect. Let's share it. If we're not doing great things, let's look somewhere else, even if it's not sports. I don't care. The challenge is climate. The challenge is biodiversity loss. The challenge is air quality. The challenge is all these things, not in motorsports or in this. No, it's in every industry, you know? So if you have gaps on what we're doing as an industry in general, we have to look elsewhere. And that's how we progress this industry, motorsport, faster.
And to flip that last question slightly, do you hope at all that this sustainability roadbook that you've launched becomes almost an influencer for motorsport as a whole, a trailblazer even?
In all modesty, I hope if it can get others inspired, I would be very happy, because we have put a lot of effort in not only building it, telling the story correctly, accurately, but also we have measured what we're doing, you know, everything we're telling in this roadbook, you can audit it. That's almost the standard we're having with everything we're communicating. If we cannot be audited about something we're saying, don't even say about it, because it means we're not good enough yet. There are areas where I can tell you we have done things that haven't been done before. You heard about the UNESCO pledge. You heard that World Rowing did it before. We spoke with them. We called them. We had a call with them. Hey, you did this. How did you did this? Why did you did this? We wanted to learn about it. Actually, it started because they had a partnership with WWF on clean water. And then they linked the pledge with World Heritage Sites and UNESCO. But then when we spoke with them, I asked if they had to implement this, if they had any event where they had a problem with this, and they hadn't. It was simply the event calendar or the calendar that they had didn't have any conflict. And then they even shared with me information that was very helpful for us. And that's what I was talking about. That's really helpful. They're rowing, we're motorsport. In theory, we have nothing in common, but see, we have a lot in common. And then when we looked in our calendar, we actually found one World Heritage Site where we had some operations, which is Kenya. And that's where we saw, okay, if we want to do the same that World Rowing did, we have to do much more, because we actually have a place where we have sporting activities in the World Heritage Site or the buffer zone. So that's when we got in contact with IUCN, UNESCO, and ICROM, who provides all the consultancy for cultural sites to UNESCO, World Heritage Center. And we built a management tool for World Heritage Sites. We implemented it in Kenya. And I tell you, this is a concrete piece of work that I would be happy to share with any sport organization, not even sport organization. There are other industries or companies that have operations in World Heritage Sites. They need to know how to do this. Don't get me wrong. UNESCO has a lot of guidance to do this. But we were the first to do this for a motorsport event. And I can tell you, because we build it together, you can easily implement this in other sports.
And I think it highlights how sustainability, obviously a key issue in motorsport, but it is a global issue that needs to be addressed. And your pledge to protect UNESCO World Heritage Sites is really admirable, and the work you're doing is really admirable. If we look at motorsport, just to wrap things up, what would one lesson be that you'd give to motorsport in sustainability?
Can I make it two? I think the first one would be never stop looking where you have never looked before, in terms of we have so many different areas where we might have an impact or an influence, and we never stop learning about this. And every year, every event, we see something that we didn't see before that we have to take into consideration, try to measure it the best possible way, create an action plan to tackle and mitigate, reduce that impact, and improve, and improve, and improve. That's one. And the second one, it's a little bit of a wrap-up of what I said before, is I really hope we can act in this topic as a block, as a motorsport industry, and not necessarily having one championship here, pledging for this, one championship here, pledging for this, and we're doing this and we're doing this, which is great. And I completely understand the logic and the business and everything behind, because we are also in it. But I am absolutely sure that acting as an industry together, maybe not always, but in many, many circumstances, can make us more attractive and change this perception about motorsport being negatively conceived, which we all share, actually. Doesn't matter which category you are.
I mean, amazing work, as always, and really good to see this clear direction laid out today. I thought the event was amazing and, you know, really looking forward to seeing what becomes of Beyond Rally. Santi, really appreciate your time. Thank you for sitting down with me and appearing on the Sports Pro podcast.
Thank you so much, Kian. This was great, and it was great having you here.
That brings to an end my time at the Beyond Rally Forum. It's been a very interesting day full of, you know, amazing insights and amazing speakers. I think I'm going to go off and sample some of the local port and, you know, enjoy a weekend of rallying.
That's what I was going to say. Please don't forget that we love motorsports, and you also have to enjoy the weekend, because Rally Portugal is one of the most exciting ones in the calendar.
I think I'll have to. Thank you, Santi.
Thank you very much.